What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. That's the OG John Lopez. I'm Reginald Atula. Figgy Fig and you trying to ride out a Friday here in the greatest city in the world, Houston, Texas. Don't mind that. That was my phone. That apparently is not on silent. Appreciation to Callan Hannah sitting down with us. Good idea. Drink shelves in the restrooms. Although here's the thing. If there is a drink shelf mounted in the restroom, like, you know, at the right height for you to be able to set your drink down and do your business, how quickly before that drink shelf is somewhere that you don't want to put down your drink?
Oh, yeah, because you know what I mean? Constant use makes it a little bit unsavory.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You see that in a couple of little janky bars, though.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, very quickly,
it's
like,
never stopped me, to be honest.
Actually, I don't want to put anything down on that shelf anymore.
Nah, I done been in some bars where people come in with their drink and just sat it right there. I'd rather that than leaving it at the bar and going to the bathroom.
Yeah, so. I don't think it would stop me.
Yeah.
From setting it right there on
And they, you know, they'll clean it up. It'll be taken care of.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
No, maybe that's just my mindset. I wouldn't say that I am a neat freak, per se, but my brain very much goes to moments like that where I'm like,
oh, yeah.
That's not actually sanitary, right?
No, it's not. But what is on these restrooms, to be honest?
And that's less about the people who clean the restrooms and more about us as human beings. We probably should be better, but we know each other.
Yeah.
We're not.
We're pigs.
Appreciate you, Curtis, on the YouTube. Thank you for saying that you're enjoying the camp content. Really and truly, it's easy to do that when, one, you guys get involved, but, two, the opportunities, thankfully, to the Texans for the opportunities to be out there and actively see and react to the things that are happening live. It makes it very easy. And with those reactions, we are able to kind of formulate some ideas of what this Texans team might be this year. So last week we did this after the first three practices, rather, because we didn't get the fourth one until Saturday. Of course, they are practicing again Saturday. I'll make sure to be out there as well because, of course, it's necessary and I want to get as many looks as I possibly can at this team. But with the four practices we got this week, what more do we now know, plus Saturday, I guess, what more do we now know about this team compared to where we were last week? And I'm going to be honest, I was initially thinking about this and I was like, I feel like not as much as I wanted to in this week, especially, pads are going on. Yeah, we're going to know more. And I feel like not as much as I was hoping to know by this time.
You're probably right. But I feel like there are some things where it might not necessarily be, you know, a great thing, but you know more. And I'm going to start.
Well,
and I'm going to start. True. Yeah. I'm going to start with the biggest story of training camp coming in, the biggest story of training camp today, and the biggest story of training camp probably throughout camp and the preseason. I know, I knew that this offensive line was going to be the story. I know more now. It's a big-time project. It's not going to be easy. I'll put it that way. It's not going to be easy making this offensive line
a project or a problem.
It's a project. You know, we'll let you know when it becomes
a problem. It remains a project.
Yeah, I don't know if you're trying to keep it safe.
I'd like to leave that door open.
Are you going to say it's interesting?
Yeah, I'd like to leave that door open that it could be.
Offensive line is interesting.
It's interesting.
It is of interest. But I will say that.
That's what I know more now than at the start of the week. I thought we'd start to see a little bit more progress. It's going to be a big time. It's a project. It's a big project.
According to Nick Haley, there is progress, but I think the question is at what rate is the question. And this is where, you know, hey, everybody's been pushing off to once we get pads on. We have pads on, and this is supposed to get better by the nature of competition. There's a lot of competition out there.
Mm-hmm.
At what point does that kick in to really show us, you know, the show us the baby, right, of sorts? And I think that's what remains to be seen. I will say it doesn't feel like there is a particular hinge point
of
weakness, which I don't know how much that how much value that carries, but it does feel like there is something within that that there's not like, oh, there's this place that is an issue.
Right? Yeah.
It doesn't feel, but maybe it's worse that it's, hey, the entirety of the offensive line probably needs to raise its game to be able to be compete in some level against the defense that, to be fair, has played together and is really good, but also, you will face off against really good defenses, and you need to be able to give some level of some level of I don't know, resistance against them as well.
And I'll just do one more here. I've got others, but I'm curious on what you think. Kind of a subset of that is still don't know anything about the running game. I have liked Nick Chubb the way he looks, you know, the way you know he's come into camp and all that. But they're getting blown up, and so you don't really know, you know, if this running back room going to be explosive.
I feel like you won't know about the running game until preseason, probably.
Or even the regular season.
Yeah, it's hard to tell in practice with the running back situation. Because hell, a couple years ago, remember, Sean Pendergast said David Johnson looked sharp out there.
Yeah.
And it's hard. And you got, I think you really got to get in the game.
Yeah. And maybe the preseason, see. But. Do you? Do you have any idea on this running game?
I think preseason you could probably tell
because we seen
a little spark from Cam Akers,
and
we was like, man, I think he should make this team. So I think you could tell a little something from preseason, but it's hard to tell now.
No, and the thing that you would be able to tell, especially for the thing that would kind of be a predictor of consistent success would be, wow, the offensive line is moving guys into the places that you want.
Yeah.
And then, again, that feeds back into the first question. Again, there's been some moments, but I don't know that they've been consistent enough for us to depend on them and say that we know something about what this O-line and the running game will be.
Yeah.
So we'll continue to see what that speaks to. I did want to give a salute to a player because I feel like we did learn something between – Friday last week and this Friday, which is Kalen Bullock is just a different
thank
level.
You. Yeah.
He has been fascinating all day today. I've been thinking about the one-on-one drill with him and Cade Stover. Cade Stover, who has been who's been praised by a number of people, including his head coach D'Amico Ryans, including Nick Caserio, the general manager of this team, and he's up there in one-on-one drills. That is inherently a offensive leaning situation. And Kalen Bullock is on him like wine on rice in a way that, I mean, he's not even that type of cover guy, Kalen.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the idea is that, hey, if you're a cornerback, maybe you cover more like that. He's a free safety. He is a ball hawk, and he has all of that. Plus, he's demonstrating a capability of sticking with folks like that. I am so excited for what that young man's going to be able to do with the additional mentorship of C.J. Gardner-Johnson, in addition to all of the other mentors that he has. And plus, just like the added growth, the development that he has, the more he has more skins on the wall. And I am super excited. I'm buying into the idea. Who was it that was saying that he could lead the league in interceptions? Yeah, man, I'm buying into them fellas. I think he absolutely could the way that he's playing right now.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, and I'm glad you brought him up. I didn't even blink when Show said that because we've seen it out there, just the ability to go get it and to close. And we saw it again day before yesterday, just consistently doing. One other thing. That I think I know more now than I did last week at this point. We knew C.J. Gardner-Johnson was going to bring something to this defense. I think it's going to be so important, and we've seen it, so important that it just makes an already very, very good defense an even better defense with what he brings in. And it maybe even plays more on the line of scrimmage, which is what he wants to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One more thing I wanted to add in here. I think that was this week. We actually got a little bit more of a look at our guy Kaimi Fairbairn in instances. I don't think I've seen him miss a field goal to this point.
I don't think I have either.
And so that was one of my, you know, kind of secondary questions about camp is Kaimi going to be returned to his dominance? I don't know that I could fully answer that, but if I had to give a yes or no on whether he was closer or further away from that, it's clearly closer. Like he has lined it up, and I don't think I've seen one honestly that's been close to missing. I think he's been splitting the uprights in a way that we had gotten very familiar with and comfortable with from Kaimi. So I think that's inherently a good one. From the 832, they're saying they really miss Mixon. It's not even talent, it's attitude. Here's the thing. I don't know that you should miss your starting running back in the same way. Of course you're going to miss him when it comes to just the talent of toting the rock. It should look somewhat similar in the ways that you're able to block it up.
And Nick Chubb has attitude. Nick Chubb can bring it. Figure you're quite familiar with his
work. Oh, did Kaimi miss today? I must have missed
that.
So apologies for that. Thank you, 832. Must have missed that in all the hubbub that we had going. But it feels like, for the most part, he's been good. But I guess that's the issue is, hey, here and there, he misses in the wrong time, especially are the issues that you're working with.
Another couple of things real quick that I know now that I didn't necessarily at the beginning of the week. There is a legit, almost, in my view, 50-50 competition at the center position. That is C.J. Stroud's most important offensive lineman before the ball is snapped, is the center. And it's Jarrett Patterson and Jake Andrews, and it looks like they are just rotating days even, you know, running with the ones. Jake Andrews was doing it today.
Okay, so we add Sean Pendergast, who, by the way, himself and Seth Payne will be in West Virginia next week. So don't worry about on the ground coverage. It remains right here on Sports Radio 610, and we'll talk to them all week long so we continue to get these types of things, because Sean is able to clean me up even better. Not only did Kaimi miss one, it was from 51 yards and kind of bad.
Oh, God.
So, okay. Thanks for revising what we know.
You should
have
seen that thing.
The questions remain then on if that dominance is going to return for Kaimi Fairbairn. Anything else that comes to mind?
Yeah, the center position I mentioned. Yeah. And then, that's a legit competition.
Real quick, what's up with Juice Scruggs? I feel like I haven't heard his name all camp at all. Is he good?
Juice Scruggs is he
on the bubble?
I don't know. Ooh, that is a good question, because he feels like, I think they feel comfortable with him playing guard, but in a depth role. It doesn't feel like he's definitely not in a competition for center.
Yeah.
Seems like they've slotted him as a guard. And he, when he goes in a guard, he's behind Lakin Tomlinson, it doesn't feel like they're moving.
No, Lakin is entrenched. It seems like Cam Robinson is entrenched. Ursary is resting control of the position. Obviously, Titus Howard. The only real competition is at center, and Juice is not in the mix right there.
No. He's a depth guy. I think that they have a level of confidence in him, especially if you start looking at what the depth is on that offensive line, interior-wise. Let's go confidence rankings, if you don't mind.
On the offensive line?
Offensive line, I think you go Titus Lakin, if we're going confidence rankings.
1 and 1A, really.
I think inherently, because of the competition, then you'll throw in Jarrett and Jake Andrews, Jarrett Patterson, Jake Andrews, however you want to split that. And then interior beyond that, I think Juice is the next guy. He's the fifth interior offensive lineman. Yeah. I don't know that there's another guy that they view higher than him. Is there?
I don't think so.
Because of what we're talking about, Ed Ingram there.
Yeah.
Who else?
I think it would be Juice at this point on the inside. So I think Zach Thomas has gotten some reps.
He's gotten some reps, but he's a tackle, though. Ain't he?
He's played inside and outside. They've been moving him around, but yeah, some tackle. One other thing that I think we know a lot more about now than, because we were speculating on this for weeks coming into camp and the first week of camp, get used to some tight ends, baby. They are going to use tight ends. I like it. I think it's sort of a reflection of what this offense is going to be. When we spoke with Nick Cayley, I was kind of dancing around the point of, you know, it doesn't have to be as flashy, but it can still be more effective. That's what I was talking about. You know, being able to run the ball and use tight ends, don't take big losses. You know, second and three is a good situation to be in. I think they're going to use tight ends a lot, and he said it a couple of times today. They're all different. So I think you're gonna use maybe three, maybe four different tight ends with this offense, depending on the down and distance.
Yeah, and one of those people that might work like a tight end, Jakob Johnson, I feel even more confident that he's going to be not just useful, but he's going to be important.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I think that that's going to be a big thing for me, because I very much value what Cayley was talking about. We heard it from the podium. That Jakob Johnson gives you an opportunity to dictate to the defense personnel, because he's going to read like a running back, and so you or like a fullback, obviously. And defenses, I imagine, might put in an extra linebacker or whatever to account for that, and they are going to utilize him all over the place, including like an out and out tight end, and maybe even like a tight end that you can split wide.
Yeah.
And so I think that if there is anything at the disposal of a coordinator to help dictate to a defense what they do. I think that you're going to utilize that. So not that anybody was questioning if Jakob Johnson would make the 53, but now I'm even more confident that he'll make the 53 and that he'll be utilized.
Let me ask you this. More of a question than something we know now that we didn't at the beginning of the week. Arthur Mollett was back full go today. Full go.
Looks good, too.
Second team reps, but of course Jimmy Ward is not on the field. Mollett has played a lot of slot. Where's Jimmy Ward fit? presuming everything gets, you know, ironed out otherwise.
Not even sure you need to presume that. Yeah. However, they're going to let the legal system play out. I think Jimmy Ward, you know, obviously, again, with that caveat, he still operates as a dude that you can fit in a lot of places in a depth role. But I think he becomes, and we talked about this when this thing happened, is because you have C.J. Gardner-Johnson, he becomes less necessary. I think he becomes even more so less necessary. That sounds stupid.
I get it.
with Arthur Millett seemingly stepping in.
Or expendable.
That is the word.
That's the word.
That is definitely the word. He becomes more expendable, especially as you've seen not just Arthur Millett finally get the non-contact jersey off and look like, you know, covers pretty well. I still want to see what some of that thudding up looks like if he has the opportunity, and I didn't get a good opportunity to look at some of the run plays for him. But then the young cats, Reed and Smith, the Jalens, I think those guys adding more depth, again, also helps push him to more expendable. Because if you
keep an eye on that,
the more you can depend on Jalen Reed to maybe slide in the spaces where C.J. Gardner-Johnson needs rest or Kalen Bullock, that helps. The more you can depend on obviously, I think Smith on the outside is not necessarily in the same bucket, but you get what I'm saying. Like, the more that you feel confident that you have some depth pieces that you can use, the less beholden you are to a Jimmy Ward that I don't know if you have a moral standpoint that you're coming to it from where you might want to part ways with him, or just like a necessity standpoint, especially also
just a football term.
He's getting older.
Yeah.
He's, coming towards the end of his contract, and, you know, he's going to be more expensive than some of the young guys.
I got one more for you, and I'm very confident in saying this. Christian Kirk is your number two. Christian Kirk is your number two wide receiver.
Number two target?
Target.
Yeah, okay.
Number two target, because it's Nico, obviously. Christian Kirk, we can talk about, you know, Jalen Knoll and Jaden Higgins and obviously just go down the list, Berrios, et cetera. They're all looking, you know, pretty decent. Jalen Knoll, obviously. Jaden Higgins, obviously. But Christian Kirk is clearly going to be the secondary target and be used a lot in this offense. I think it's safe to say that now.
I think that's fair. I think we were coming in with some of that, but that makes sense. I feel weird because I feel like I still haven't gotten enough of a beat on what Jaden Higgins is within all of this. So especially Saturday will give me an opportunity tomorrow to have a better eye. I'll try and keep a little bit better eye on Jaden Higgins himself. Yeah. I think, again, we're learning a little bit more and more and more about this team. Still more to be seen, but that's the beauty of training camp rolling on tomorrow still out there at the Houston Methodist Training Center. And then next week with Sean and Seth out in West Virginia. I say that like they're going with Sean and Seth. Like, hey, Sean and Seth were going out there, so we might as well tag along.
Yeah.
But they will be out there with on the ground for Sports Radio 610, continuing to keep you covered and give you more insight as to what the Texans are looking like and what more we know about them as we continue to go. See you, Gilbert, on the text line. Who's the left tackle? I feel pretty confident it's Cam Robinson because it feels like Ariante Ursary, the only other guy that I feel like they would be considering to be a starter who has played in that first rep, is now kind of holding down the number one spot on the right side.
Yeah, I think everything's set except for center, and I know you can argue right tackle, as we just talked about. I think Ursary it's his job to lose. I think he's looked pretty good, better than Fisher, and I think they're showing a lot of confidence in him. So it's really just the center position at this point.
All right, a couple of things to make mention of real quick. Before I do that, Cam on the YouTube page said, Lopez, I swear to goodness, if you make me draft Christian Kirk in fantasy and he doesn't show up, yeah, I do that. Go ahead and what's the other side of that? I want to know because I find that to be intriguing. All right, a couple of football notes. We were talking earlier, I think this was last week, about ESPN purchasing the rights to some NFL properties, including Red Zone and NFL Network. That deal has been agreed to.
Look at the numbers.
So we're at big money, big money. So we'll see what that ultimately means. We'll see especially as more and more attached become the partners between broadcast and the league. I don't know how you feel about that. I do know exactly how you feel about that from a journalistic standpoint. I do wonder, though, if that makes the actual technology of some of the stuff that the NFL puts out a little bit better. That'll be fun. And maybe more interestingly enough, and if you want to laugh at them up 45, Michael Parsons has now requested a trade as he has been fighting, really fighting with the Jones family and the Cowboys organization on trying to get an extension. Oh my God.
He and CJ are tight. You know that?
Oh my God. How was the first question? But then before I can even get out how, I was like, do I care?
Who cares?
You don't need it. Cause I mean, Daniil and Will are heinous.
Yeah.
Putting Michael Parsons in that as well.
Let's go. The more the merrier.
That is sick. Like, that's, it's not even that that's good. Like, that is sick.
It's sick.
That is,
it's unfair.
That is like the 10-year-old boy that gets outside and like collects insects in order to torture them. That's what that is. You are a torturing quarterback at that point.
You are.
That is sick. But yeah, Cowboys.
Yeah.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's the time where we hand things over to Figgy Fig for Figgy's mixtape. What you got for us, man?
Yeah, so Gilbert Arenas talked we talked about Gilbert Arenas yesterday, and he jumped on his stream yesterday and had some things to say about Kwame Brown. And I'll let you know what he had to say about that. Plus, it's a new viral dating trend that Gen Z, they are really into this, and I want to see what you guys think about this.
Goodness gracious. All right, let's hear about it next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep, it's the mixtape in the loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Friday. Happy Friday to everyone out there. Salute to Parker Hillis. He just looked in here, just gave me the thumbs up.
How about that?
That means you're doing a great job.
Yeah, so I ain't getting fired. Mm-hmm. It ain't that little scary look in the window that sometimes he give. So I think my job is safe right now.
One more day.
At least for the time being.
Can I add something to the text line real quick?
Yeah.
713-572-4610. How many times do you interact with your boss, like just see your boss and think, am I getting fired? Because that is
many
funny.
Times.
Because for you, many you times. Like literally every time.
I got PTSD.
Right?
And stuff I do, be going down around here, yeah, man. You don't know, man. Yeah,
I do wonder how many people have that where it's like, oh, here they come. All right.
Yeah. Like, it's been real.
Okay.
Yeah. Every time I get an email.
Finally got caught.
Yeah. Like, oh, man, it's over with. It's over with.
Yeah.
But salute to everybody around here that's still kicking. But Gilbert Arenas, we talked about him yesterday and his situation with the feds. And he decided, and we was kind of critical, me personally, I can't speak for y'all, but me personally, I was a little critical of him for speaking a little too much.
Yeah.
As soon as he got out, I think somebody said his lady was recording him and he was going down the stairs, just got bailed out. And he was pretty much said, that ain't my house. Yeah. I'm like, brother, where's your lawyer at, man? You talking too much, man. Well, he continued to talk a little more. Oh, he decided to do what all the kids do and jump on live. Mm-hmm. He jumped on his live stream. I think he was playing a video game. And he had to address some things. He talked about Kwame Brown. Mm-hmm. He talked about him. And he talked about, I guess, what happened when the feds pulled up to that big old mansion in Cali.
Man, you see, I gotta surround myself. I'm out on the block. I'm out. They can't hold me down. Huh? Hey, Kwame, what did you say? Roxanne! Turn on the red light! Huh? Roxanne! Boy, I see. Hey, boy, you on fire, boy. That boy get all his views off another person. You can't entertain. Huh? Hey, man, I'm happy to get your page back popping, man, because I just heard you just lost another one. What's up, chat? I'm not going to lie. They had the house around it. They had the house around it. I was like, damn, 40 people? But it's a big crib, so, I mean... I know they needed a lot of people because it was a lot. You know what I mean? It's a big house, so they had to surround the building. You feel me?
Man, he really is no chill Gil. Like, why are you talking like that?
The first thing I thought about, like, man, his PR people got to be cringing so bad.
Does he even have
I
any?
Thought about it. I'm like, man, maybe he don't have one.
Yeah.
Because he sound like he just got popped for a speeding ticket.
He sounds unhinged.
Yeah, this might not end well. Just off of this stuff alone. He talking way too much. He sounded a little too excited, by the way.
Yes.
I will be scared out of my you know what.
You would think he should be, but here's the other thing. You know how you know he's kind of deranged right now or not himself? Trying to pick a fight with Kwame Brown on Twitter? I mean, on Instagram? You don't want to. Kwame's going to come back 10 times.
My thing is, you got more stuff to worry about than Kwame Brown. I wouldn't even be thinking about him.
Yeah, that too.
Well, I feel like what's happening here is he's doing that thing where you try and, you know, tweet through it of sorts, right? Like,
deflect a little bit.
Yeah. You've got the big thing, so let me get over here and, like, look over here. Let's have this conversation. Or I'm going to laugh this off like it's not a big deal so that, it is. We know.
Yeah even the laughs sound a little nervous. Yes. Like, man, brother, you got a lot going on. But here's more from No Chill Gil. Just talking and playing. I think he's playing that NCAA game. And for those who don't know, somebody on, I think a lot of people mentioned this about ESPN and how they pretty much had a wild lineup.
They had a panel, man.
Yeah, they had a crazy panel when it comes to Stephen A. Smith cosigns for First Take. Mm-hmm. So for those who don't know, we talked about Shannon Sharpe yesterday in his situation where he had to pay that young lady
$20 million?
Yeah, over $20 million for her to retire from OnlyFans. We talked about Gilbert Arenas, his situation. And Marcus Morris, who been on First, I felt like he had a permanent seat on First Take at some point.
Yeah.
But he was also accused of stealing $265K from a Las Vegas casino.
Yeah.
So you got a wild lineup right there.
Writing hot checks, everything.
Yeah. So here is Gilbert Arenas with a little message for Stephen A. Smith.
Hey, man. Hey, Stephen A., man, we got to talk, brother. Cause it ain't a damn coincidence that everybody you know going to church. Hey, Stephen, huh? Everybody, man. Everybody, like, damn. Y'all see that? Everybody. What? No. I ain't saying E. I ain't saying, you know, nobody snitch. I'm just saying, you know how to pick them. Hey, Stephen, you know how to pick them, man. I'ma just be honest. It's like the Madden curse, just the other way around.
What is going on?
He sound scared.
And he's talking about
the laugh. The laugh sound like he's laughing from crying.
Yeah. He's talking about himself. As like, you know how to pick
I don't understand Gilbert Arenas, and I think that's for good reason because he's not to be understood. Like, again, I also would not be a person who would get into an argument that would require me to bring that Roscoe into the club, into the locker room. Like, I think this is the no chill about Gilbert. Like, this is why he is the way that he is. And I imagine also is how you end up in a circumstance where you need 40 people surrounding your house. Like, it's just be serious.
Yeah. I wonder. I'm sure he probably not going to shut the hell up anytime soon.
No.
But he probably need to do that and get the situation together, because otherwise he might be doing 5+ years or maybe 15 years, depending on what all the charges is. So keep an eye out on that.
Yeah.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix?
These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's the Mixtape in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. So it's a new dating trend out here for the Gen Zs, Gen Z folks. And I want to see how y'all feel about this. And I think Reggie, you're a millennial, right?
I am.
So you won't be in this type of situation.
That's right.
So it's a new dating trend called flocking. Do you know what flocking is?
No idea.
Like seagulls?
I guess
a flock of seagulls. Love that band.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know. You mentioned it. What was that, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah. You talk about how the guy looked so bad, you couldn't even be around him or something.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it's a new trend called flocking. And instead of using dating apps, get this, people are traveling to meet potential partners in life.
Like in real life.
In real life. Can you believe that?
Like actually going up to them.
Yes. So what they're doing, they're booking trips to fun places like beaches, cities with a lot of bars to increase their chances of finding romance the old-fashioned way. Get this. By actually talking to people face-to-face.
All right.
Can you believe this?
This is so dumb. You know what? It's not flocking. You know what?
Oh, my God. Face-to-face?
You know what it's called? It's not flocking. Called dating.
It's called dating. I am shaking right now.
Is this how out of touch they are?
Wow.
Is this how out of touch the Gen Zs are?
I feel like this is just somewhat a human nature situation where people reinvent the wheel all the damn time. You remember the last like 5 years when all these dudes from Silicon Valley were reinventing things that we knew? Like, hey, what if we take ride sharing, but then we have like a bigger vehicle that has a consistent route so that people know where it's going to be at any given time. It's like, you realize you made a bus. And I feel like that's what's happening here is that people, and maybe this is just kind of a level of, I don't know, hubris with certain folks who are like, I'm so smart, I will fix the problem. And they end up creating something that's already.
So you know what we used to do in my era and the era after me and maybe even the one after that? You know, like we have a weekend off, we're in college. Hey, let's go to South Padre. That's called flocking now? Hey.
You was flocking back in the day, man.
Let's go to a couple of dance clubs in Houston. That's called flocking now?
You was flocking,
hey,
dog.
You was flocking.
No, I was not.
Big
flocko.
Now, there's some travel sites that's pretty much taking this aboard. So,
this is dumb.
Priceline are even offering special deals to support this trend. They're trying to get people off the maps and get people to flock a little more, I guess.
Oh, you could have called me Flaco Jimenez.
Rest in peace.
Because this is to me, all I'm getting out is this is how out of touch Gen Z is.
Whoever came up with this is brilliant.
Well, they are making money.
I'm just like, dang, that's it? Because sometimes when you hear trends like this, it's like, ooh, I want to do this.
What if I walked up to her and started talking? What if I did that?
Nobody would do that.
I'm sure some Gen Z folks are probably like, ugh, that's weird. That's kind of weird, bro. I'll just slide in a DM and call it a day.
Yeah.
See, but here's the thing. It don't matter what they call it as long as they do it. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like ultimately we could laugh at the new generation. I feel like that's what generations do time and time again. As long as they're good, like if they have found their way to the right answer, whatever they call it, I'm proud of y'all. Good job, young fellas.
Man, that girl was nice. What if I asked for her phone
number? Hell yeah, brother. Get your flock on, young fella.
Let's go to a beach town and actually talk to some women face to face.
That sounds like a good time, actually.
All right, it's the Mixtape in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. I don't know if y'all seen him lately, but Luka
Doncic.
He lost a little weight. He looking like a little slim Jim out here, man. So here's Luka Doncic on the Today Show, and let me know. I think we at a point now where people always questioning your weight loss a little bit.
Yeah,
and just listen to the very end of this clip.
You said this offseason was different from you. Why? I would say me and my team just tried some new things, you know, different food, different practices. I actually gave up playing basketball for 1 month, which I never done in my life. So it was kind of challenging, but it was awfully good.
You felt like you needed to step away from the game in order to focus on the fitness aspect of it.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was just diet and exercise. That's it.
Yeah.
No Ozempic, no, none of those shots or anything.
Yo. No Ozempic. Yo. Damn. So now every time somebody lose some weight.
Yes.
So this was this all natural? No Ozempic, right?
Hold on. What was that voice? Was that Big Al Roker?
What? I don't think it was
okay,
Al Roker.
Okay, I was
going to
say.
Nah. Yeah.
Hey, we got to be honest. Every time you see someone lose weight, don't you think about that? Don't you? Come on, be honest.
I think about it whenever I don't really see people that active like that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you see people in the gym all the time, sure, or they post gym stuff, and then you could kind of tell people who got the gym body.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody that was kind of big at one point, and then all of a sudden they're just bone skinny.
Mm-hmm.
I do kind of think that a little bit.
You know what's funny thing though about the Luka Doncic thing? It falls right in line with, in some ways, the James Harden thing, where half the time the fluctuation and he looks fat or he looks skinny is just optical illusions.
Yes.
Like Luka Doncic, and I imagine people that have been in Dallas over the last, I don't know, 5 years will know that this is an every offseason thing. The problem is that now it's just happening with the Lakers. And then he did a Men's Health magazine article.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's, now to be fair, I do think that he has lost a little weight. But that's because for the first time in like literally 5 years, he's not playing in the offseason, because he's been playing for Slovenia, his country, all these summers. And so I don't know actually how big of a deal this thing actually is. However, he did get traded, and his last coach, general manager,
that's
was
it.
Basically like, without actually saying it, kind of said, we got rid of him because we don't think that he's serious about his weight.
Yes. Yes. And now he's on the cover of Men's Health, as you talked about. Looking damn good.
Is this the smallest he's been?
Wait, you're telling me
someone
on the front of a magazine look good, huh?
Yeah, well, there is that.
So is this the smallest he ever been since being in the NBA?
It's got to be, right?
I mean, when he first came in, he was pretty svelte as the kid
coming
out of
Spain.
Maybe the
best he's looked, because he's, you know, he's cut.
Well, you know what? My bad. He's in the best shape of his life.
There we go. Yeah, that's what he's in.
I wanted to ask y'all, do y'all think this could be a good thing or a bad thing for him? Because we've seen a lot of people that was kind of a little on the heavier side but still balling out.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever they get a little skinny, it seemed like the game kind of diminished a little bit. I'm thinking about Kevin Love.
Stephen A., he weighed in on this this week. He said, you know, in Stephen A. terms, said, you know, losing weight in the offseason, a whole different world than keeping it off during the regular season.
That was going to be my thing. Is like, is he going to maintain this weight? Because he's added weight during seasons before, or at least not necessarily like added a ton of weight, but he's kind of been in a space where he's not in his best version of himself. And also, like, is he going to play defense? Like, is he going to have, is it going to change his stamina and it give him an ability to exert even more effort, especially if he continues to be a dude for whom it's like a heliocentric type of game where everything revolves around him in the way that it has previously.
I think if he can keep it off, I think he's, you know, in MVP mode because, you know, the way he's not a big guy that needs the bulk.
Like a big man.
Yeah. He's a guy that can create, contort himself, get under the basket, drive, step back. We all know what he can do. And with, but in better shape and less to pull, you know, I think he's going to be able to be real good if he can keep it off.
I think I think he uses that weight well when he goes, though, like good bumps and those types of things. Honestly, I'll be more interested. Does this keep him healthy? He's had like knee and leg things that he constantly deals with. He's a little bit of a warrior fighting through those. If whatever actual weight loss is happening here, if it's maintained, does that, you know, take off stress on his joints or whatever, and help him remain healthier, and that he's not having to, you know, fight through nagging injuries in that same way.
Yeah.
That'll be the big thing for me when it comes to Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
All right. I'll be checking him out just to see how he played this season. So, yeah.
You gonna be weighing him in? Hey, Luka, how much you weigh right now?
No, I ain't going to weigh him in.
I see 5 more pounds on there, Luka.
I just want to see how he played, man.
No, for sure.
Because that skinny curse is a real thing, man. Mm-hmm. People that was, you know, balling out as a kind of heavier person when they lose weight, it's like they not the same person. So I'm curious
I'm
to
not
see
feeling that
if that
him.
Make him better.
I think it'll help him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's talk a little bit more. Well, I want to talk a little bit more about the Astros, especially ahead of their matchup in Boston tonight. I know that Carlos Correa has made it to Fenway. But I was reading through this Micah Parsons statement that he put out after, in addition to requesting a trade.
Let's do it.
And it's kind of wild. Let's talk about that as well next. Oh, man. Somebody on the YouTube page said that flocking is going to turn into Freaknik. So shout out to Figgy's mixtape. Shout out to – there's a lot of thanks that need to be given on a Friday show. A lot of different people. And we didn't even have B. Scott on it. Can you imagine?
That's right.
Can you imagine – if wow. today's show also had B. Scott. Yes. A lot of things happened. Again, appreciation to Nick Cayley for sitting down with us. Thanks to Cal, Hannah, and Joanna for jumping on with us. Figgy, always appreciate you holding it down, keeping us weirdos in check. And thanks to you for listening all day long on your Houston sports leader, Sports Radio 610. I see you, 346. Michael Parsons just asked to be traded. Let the McNairs know. I feel like they probably will know if they need to know. And I'm going to be completely honest. Don't think they need to know.
Yeah.
Micah Parsons, it is setting the world of Twitter on fire, especially in the NFL space. And Micah Parsons, pass rusher for the Dallas Cowboys, says that he's asked to be traded. He's actually put out a whole notes app statement about what's been happening and why he no longer wants to play for the Cowboys. It feels like there's been a level of like malfeasance when it comes to the negotiation of the contract. How there's been a lot of silence when he has talked with ownership, I think Jerry Jones, and talked to him about like leadership, I think was what he was saying, and ultimately veered into contract conversations. He tried to kind of juice those along by talking a little bit and then saying that his agent would call. Agent called, silence. And so he felt like, at least from Micah's perspective, you know, they were not being serious to really try and shorten this thing up. And ultimately, after a while, he's said that he's handed in his desire to be traded to Stephen Jones personally, who is, I think, the executive vice president of player personnel, whatever. And so with all that being the case, I know that people are going, Texans, there's no way in hell, right?
Yeah, no, I never say never, but I would be really close to saying never. As much as he and CJ Stroud are pretty dang tight and all that, I think they're pretty set in on that front. But it does lead to the question. First of all, give me the rundown. I didn't have a chance to read it yet of what Micah said.
That was basically what I was trying to give you.
He did paragraphs. He wrote a lot.
Yes. He has three screenshots of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he said that he purposely stayed quiet as the things, as, you know, narratives continued to sprawl off. As I mentioned, team didn't start doing negotiations for a while. He's talking about like the 2024 season.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't get anything done all the way through there. Obviously, he's wanted to secure himself as a Cowboy long term. He says, and obviously the kind of ways in which he felt like the Joneses didn't give him a good conversation or did not, you know, kind of play ball in the way that he was hoping. And so ultimately, he has requested a trade. One thing I do know about the Cowboys, they believe the deadlines make deals.
Yeah.
Now, of course, it has made deals for the guys that they are trying to sign as opposed to for them. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. I think the interesting thing is thinking of who could end up with a Micah Parsons, hypothetically. Because if I'm going to be completely honest, I don't want to bury the lead. There's no way in hell he gets traded.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
The Dallas, the Dallas Cowboys.
I would
Cowboys.
Lean toward that, but I wouldn't say no way in hell.
The NFL is not in the business of trading dudes, even if they want to be traded, unless it benefits the team.
You think Mo Legueda might be the, the outlier in this, where he might really force their hand?
Not only that.
And had them kind of put a stake in the dirt?
Not only that, but, and you know, we all know this, but just to reiterate, you know, once a player publicly requests a trade, more times than not, he's gone.
Not in the NFL.
Not in the NFL as much.
Are we talking NBA?
As much.
NBA, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
No, it happens in the NFL.
You can look at Myles Garrett. Yeah. That's probably a perfect example.
Yeah, but it does happen in the NFL. That's why I'm saying I would lean toward what you're saying. They're not going to do it. But it's gotten pretty dang ugly. But let's assume that maybe it's out there. And it is definitely out there in terms of a request.
Well, here's the thing
that
we should remember. Micah Parsons coming off of the end of his rookie deal, right? This is the club option that he's coming up on.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to play? That one rolls over.
Yeah.
You do play and you think you're going to get out. Here comes the franchise tag. And he is the kind of player that you absolutely franchise tag.
Yeah.
You think you're going to get it? You don't want to play? All right. We're going to roll this thing over. Yeah. You do play. Here's another he's not getting free even if he wants to for 3 years. They have a level of control over him, and the NFL has built this. That man not getting traded. Not until the Cowboys want him to.
And see, I kind of wish, and I'm kind of going back to the whole Deshaun Watson thing. I wish that whole allegation thing never happened, because I would have loved to see how that played out, because he did the same thing. Remember, he requested a trade before all the stuff happened. And unfortunately, the allegation stuff happened where the Texans were done with him. But I wonder if he would have stuck to his guns, mm-hmm. or would the Texans say, nope, we not trade. I wonder how that would have ended.
And what you're saying, again, is not wrong. Mm-hmm. They can do that. But we also know David Mulugeta is a very, 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 very powerful agent.
He's good at what he does, for certain.
He's a very powerful agent. This could get even beyond ugly for the Cowboys if they don't want to play ball with him.
I hear what you're saying in theory. I do not believe that it happens nearly in the way that you're saying in practice. But that's neither here nor there. Let's mm-hmm. have fun, because I think my perspective is the less fun one.
Yeah.
I do believe strongly in it, that the NFL is a circumstance where the hierarchy is set to where ownership can very much make what happens or what they want to happen in this space. But the more fun thought is, if the Cowboys would for some reason play ball and actually try and get him to trade, first and foremost, that's 3 first-round picks, right?
Yes, we were talking about that just yesterday. It's
at least 2.
It'll be
I was going to say, I thought it was at least 2, mm-hmm. starting off at 2.
Mm-hmm. Two first-round picks and some change, or straight up 3 first-round picks.
Yeah.
That's a lot, considering you're also still going to have to pay him. But if there is somewhere that goes, hey, we are willing to pay that,
yeah.
What are the most interesting destinations for a Micah Parsons, incredibly...
Interesting or scary?
Incredibly fast. I mean, interesting can encompass all those things. That's why interesting is a very good word.
Interesting ones to me that popped into mind, tell me, because you probably know this off the top of your head better than I do. In fact, I know you do. Cap ramifications. Interesting ones that popped into my head are the Chargers.
Oh, right now, his cap hit is $24 million.
No, team.
Oh.
Team. Yeah.
You believe in me and way more than I do myself. Lopez, I appreciate that. I need more people in my life that believe in me in the way that you do right now.
Interesting ones to me are Chargers.
Okay.
Harbaugh, all that.
And also another AFC team that would be somewhat problematic if you're adding their ability to rush the passer.
Falcons, being able to get to Atlanta, very makeable. He knows the coaching staff there.
That would be very funny. Does he know who's the coach? Who's the head coach there? Raheem Morris?
Yeah. I thought he had a relationship with Raheem. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time making that connection right in this moment.
Lions.
Do the Lions need more pass? Well, I mean, you always kind of need more pass rushing.
Yeah.
And that would be interesting. You haven't come up with a name that I thought.
Scary one is the other one.
Okay. Because I was also, and I've seen this on the YouTube. I agree with that somewhat. The Commanders is one, especially.
Commanders.
I was going to say the Eagles, because remember, they were kind of talking about Myles Garrett when that news came out. Mm-hmm. And if they were willing to get Myles Garrett and possibly, I don't know if they was going to pay him a little more, but. That would have been scary. I don't know if Dallas would trade them to the Eagles. Though.
Yeah. Titans, to me, is the scary one.
Even the Titans make that play in where they are. I guess you have a young quarterback, mm-hmm. so you can afford to kind of put more money in other places.
Yep.
Create
a good
better pass
interior,
rush. Yeah.
But not that edge. That's the scariest one to me.
That's a good point. They are the scariest of the ones in the AFC South. Yeah. One of the ones that I thought of, because I – historically have thought this about that team, but I don't know if they've actually done some things about it. I need to look at their depth chart once more. The Ravens, if they actually get a high-level pass rusher like that, they've generated pass rush, but they haven't had the high-level pass rush in a little while. The obvious problem for there for the Texans is that's another team that's high up in the AFC, and if they push themselves even further, that's even further for the Texans to have to try and go to reach those spaces.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.